Today's scripture reading will be taken from Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
Amen. Amen, amen. You know, it's amazing. Megan did for us our offering today. You know, Megan was also recently baptized. You know, Val's here standing strong for the Lord. She was recently baptized. And Status did our scripture reading for us. Status was recently baptized too. We thank God for these soldiers of Christ who continue to come to the flock of God and to grow in Christ. We know that growing in Christ, it's not a one-day thing. It's not a one-off thing. It's a continuous experience. We continue our walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know. And so we've come to this time when we're going to hear from God's word. And I want you to just be prayerful that the Holy Spirit himself will take full charge of our minds and hearts as we open up God's word and see what he has in store for us today. You know, not every person in the church, Sister Sharon, can be a pastor. But every person in the church is called to be a minister. Amen? You see the difference? Not everyone is given the gift of pastor. But everyone is given the gift to be a minister for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we just heard Megan's testimony that just this past week she was able to get started with a Bible study that she's long wanted to do. And she's asking the church for prayer that the Holy Spirit will empower her as she goes out and give Bible study. And this is something, you know, not all of us will be the greatest Bible teachers either. But all of us can do something for Jesus Christ. Amen? And you don't have to be a scholar like Megan. You can just open the word and share John 3:16. And share the little bit that you know. Amen? God is not asking you to share what you don't know. He's asking you to share what you do know. Amen. Amen. So I just want to welcome every person here today. There's no place like this place near this place. This is the place. Amen. This is the place. And today is God's special day. What day is today? The Sabbath day. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good to us. And what is my sermon title today? You see it in your bulletins. What is it today? What's the sermon title? Follow me fully. I heard somebody saying it. Follow me fully. Who said those words? Jesus said those words. Amen. And that's the pre-incarnate Jesus. The Jesus before he became human being. Status nicely read it for us. In Numbers 14 verse 24. You know, most times when Seventh-day Adventists go to Numbers or refer to Numbers, we refer to Numbers 14 verse 34. But today we are looking at verse 24. Amen. Yeah, Numbers 14:34. Who knows what that text is? That's the text we use to establish the day-year principle in Bible prophecy studies. The day for a year. Numbers 14:34 tells us. But today we are looking at 14:24. How many of you here long for Jesus to come? I see some witnesses. Amen. How many of you here really plan to be in heaven? I see some powerful witnesses in the house today. Well, I want to let you know that heaven is cheap enough. Amen. Jesus has paid the full price for each person here today. You've heard me say it before, and I will say it again. None of us here has a good reason why we should not be in heaven. Jesus has done everything possible that each person here will spend 1,000 years in heaven and eternity in the earth made new. One songwriter even put it on into music where he says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. I love Jesus Christ today. for dying my death on Calvary and paying my ransom on Calvary. I thank Jesus Christ today. And I think he's very deserving of when he says to us, follow me fully. This is God's call. He has been giving this invitation before Jesus became a man and walked this earth. It is true that when Jesus lived on earth, he invited his disciples with the words, follow me, follow me. Let us pray. Father and our God in heaven, these are your people present before me in this congregation, and others will listen to record of it. Lord, we pray today that your spirit will move among us. Lift to our hearts and minds and our worship experience to a place where we truly encounter God today. Father, if this was our last day on earth, which it might be, help us, Jesus, to spend it well. Help us to use this day to honor you, to glorify you, and to encourage humanity around us. Lord Jesus, speak to us from your word. May our hearts be blessed. May we draw closer to you. And may we make a full and complete surrender. And may the words of Jesus Christ be fulfilled in our lives today when he invites us, follow me fully. Speak now, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We'll look at a few references in the Gospel of Mark, and we'll begin in the very first chapter. The Gospel of Mark, where probing the topic, follow me fully. And in Mark chapter 1, this is how he puts it. Mark 1 and verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Follow me. This is the invitation of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you today that our existing purpose, the purpose for our existence on this earth, is to make other human beings disciples of Jesus Christ. You thought it was to make money and retire well, right? No, you're wrong. That's not right. It's true that in life you will make a living and you will invest well, and so you can enjoy your retirement. But in God's word, there is no retiree. Amen. As long as you're breathing breath and God's warm red blood is coursing through your veins, you are a missionary for Jesus Christ. Amen. You're on missionary duties. Yes, you are fighting this fight for Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come after me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And you know, he said this to the disciples, because by trade, they were fishermen. These individuals to whom he addressed here, they were fishermen. That's how they made their living. But he was telling them, give up your way of life and come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How many of you here like to go fishing? Raise your hand. Let me see you. Man, I see some witnesses, male and females. That's wonderful. Amen. Who says it was a man's trade to go fishing? Who said so? We're all called to be fishers of men. Now, when you're going fishing, Faith, you like to get your bait first, right? Whether it's live worms or you buy some other bait in the store. Yes? You got to make sure you have good fishing line, right? And an excellent fishing rod. See, I don't really go fishing like that because I don't eat fish anymore. So I don't want to just catch them, you know? So that's maybe the reason I don't go fishing too much, because I'm all plant-based now. But you have to make preparation when you go fishing. And you got to pick good spots to go fishing. Otherwise, the fish will make a fool out of you. They'll eat your bait and swim down the stream and wave their fin at you and say, bye-bye, I got your bait. See you next time. You got to make good preparation. And Jesus is using this same analogy, this same symbology, and saying, I will make you fishers of men. Now, if we don't know Jesus, what kind of fishers of men can we be out there? I would say foolish fishermen. But when we are with Jesus, he will teach us how to fish men out of sin into Christ's righteousness. Amen. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, Jesus' entire mission to earth was to restore the image of God in man, was to lead humanity back to connection with the eternal God. And Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What is the tenor of your life? As you look over your life, can you say that God is using you to be a fisher of men? When you look at your life, are you attracting people to Jesus Christ? Or are you repulsing people, repelling people from Jesus Christ? It's good to take time to self-evaluate. Amen? That's a part of the growing process. We got to take time to examine ourselves carefully whether we are doing God's will or no. And Jesus says today, Jesus' invitation is, come after me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, I've been invited to go to off the coast of British Columbia to go fishing. These are some moneyed people with their own yacht and stuff. I haven't gone yet. I haven't accepted the invitation. You know, and I think the big thing is because I don't eat fish, I don't necessarily like to go fishing. I don't want to catch them and put them back in. You know? But you know, the Bible says it's okay to eat clean fish, the ones with fins and scales. So, yeah. But I've given that up 23 or 24 years ago. That's how long I am from away from eating a piece of fish. Catch and release. Okay, so there's a term for me to consider, the catch and release. So I may do a catch and release. Amen, amen. Amen. In this work that Christ is calling us, though, we're not going to release any. When we catch you, we want to make sure you're cornered for the kingdom. Amen. We're not going to release any here. Yeah, we want to catch and keep for the kingdom's sake. And Jesus says, if you follow me, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How many of you really want to follow Jesus Christ today? How many of you really want to be fishers of men today? Amen. And our big vision plan is Vision 2020. Each one, reach one for Christ. Each one, reach one. And we know that no COVID can stop us from doing this. Because we still can get on the phone and we still can get on Facebook and the various social media platforms. And we can witness to our next door neighbor even online. Amen. And by phone. And some of us, we've become masters at physical distancing. We know exactly how to sit 6 feet apart. So we can sit and share the word of God from 6 feet apart. Amen. And some of us know we don't have any COVID and our neighbors don't have any COVID. So we can sit less than 6 feet apart and share Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. COVID cannot stop the onward march of the gospel. Amen. COVID must not stop the onward march of truth. Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And by the way, Dennis and Heather and Faith, I want to let you know that everyone who is born into the family of God, which is what you're doing publicly today, I know the Holy Spirit has already spoken to your heart. That's why you're doing this anyway. Today we're going to do the physical water baptism. But we know that more important than this is the Holy Spirit baptism. Everyone who is born into the family of God is born a missionary. So as of today, if you weren't before, you are now officially a missionary of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what you're saying today, being born into the family of God. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you go to the second chapter of Mark, so that was Mark 1:17. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom officer, IRS officer, IRS agent. And Jesus said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. See, there is no class of sinners that God excludes from his plan of salvation, except one class. There's one group of sinners that cannot be saved. Do you know who they are? One group of sinners that cannot be saved. Who are they? All right? And Faith is waxing eloquently in her theology. She said, those who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And that's true. Do you know who are the people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit? That's the one class of sinners that cannot be saved. Who are the sinners? Who are the people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Huh? Fallen angels? They have already shut themselves off. So they don't even qualify in this discussion. As a matter of fact, they are our secret enemies, working behind the shadows and gossiping about us and doing all the bad things against us. But guess what? We shouldn't put them on our mind. We should put Jesus on our mind, because Jesus has conquered them all. He has. So who is that one group of sinners who cannot be saved? Proverbs chapter 28. You may want to spend a little time in that chapter. I think that chapter will clear you up real good. You know, Proverbs 28 verse 9 says, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So that's a little bit of a clue unto the people who will not be saved. The Bible also says that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The class of sinners that cannot be saved are unrepentant sinners. Those who don't repent, which is what become the sin of blasphemy. Those who see the error of their ways but refuse to follow God fully. And that's the title of the sermon today. God says, follow me fully. Those who truth is made clear to, and they constantly reject truth and refuse truth, they'll get to the point where they themselves shut off the Holy Spirit from working in their lives, and they become lost. So the only class of sinner, the only class of sinners that cannot be saved are the sinners who don't repent. That's how simple it is. Those who don't repent. As long as we truly repent before God, he will forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and set us on the path. And in the time of Levi, it was commonly thought that tax collectors could not be saved. Especially if that tax collector was a Jew. To the Jewish people, that was a betrayal. One, you have Roman occupiers occupying Palestine and taking our land. And now they are taxing us in our own land. And you, one of us, going to help them to collect taxes from us? You are a betrayer. And so people like Levi and Matthew was looked down upon. As a matter of fact, they did tell Jesus that he eateth with sinners. Publicans and sinners. Tax collectors. Oh, they were a despised group. But I like Jesus. He doesn't leave anybody out. He went in Mark 2 here, and he saw Levi, one of those who were seen as the very scum of the earth. And still Jesus invited the scum of the earth to follow him. Amen. And this Levi Matthew wrote the book of Matthew in the New Testament. 28 chapters. Mind filled with inspiration by the Holy Spirit. This is what God can do as we give him a chance. Even the greatest sinner can be made in the best of saints. Amen. And that's what God did for Levi Matthew here. He says, follow me. And Matthew obeyed. He arose and followed Christ. Amen. In Mark chapter 8, still in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, speaking of Jesus, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There goes the theme again. Jesus says, you must take up your cross. You must deny yourself and follow me. And you know, the very toughest thing in Christianity is to deny self. To deny self. How often does self get in the way of Jesus doing his work of redemption and restoration? Yeah, somebody said something against me and I need to retaliate and tell them something more hurtful than they told me. But do you know there is also the religious side of this thing? It's not only the negative out in the world. How many of us remain teachable? It doesn't matter how great a scholar you are, if you don't remain teachable, you are a heretic. We ought to be teachable. Doesn't matter how well learned we are. Some of them went to Andrews and all these schools. Must still be teachable. Amen. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have or don't have. You ought to remain teachable. It's one of the characteristics of the disciples of Christ. They are teachable. We learn from each other. We grow together in Christ. Amen. And so here we see that Jesus says, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, deny herself, and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. You know, there are some people who are riding first class to hell. And some do it as good Seventh-day Adventists. They keep the Sabbath and they return a faithful tithe and they go out doing things in the name of Christ. But they are not surrendered. And if you're not fully surrendered to Christ, you're not going to be saved like that. You must change course and surrender all to Jesus Christ. Unless we surrender all, we're going to go up to heaven to create problem again. And Jesus says affliction will not rise the second time. In Nahum chapter 1, read verse 7 through to 9 there. And so we must be. He says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow after me. How do we deny self? Self then must constantly be put on the evaluation stand. And we must measure ourselves with the character of Christ. Because that's the full measure of a man. Jesus Christ. He's the standard in the judgment. He is the judge in the judgment. John 5:22. And so we have to measure ourselves against Christ. You know, Val, it would be very foolish for me to measure myself against you. Or to measure myself against Sharon. We begin to measure ourselves with one another. That's foolish. In the judgment, God won't call me up to stand beside, you know, Sister Naomi and measure the two of us and see who is doing better. That's not how it works. On judgment day, God will look at me to see if he sees Christ. And if he sees Christ, then I am saved. Because we are only saved on the merits of Jesus Christ. And so when God look over and he was looking for faith, instead of seeing faith, he sees Jesus. And when he looks, and instead of seeing Heather, he sees Jesus. When the father looks for Dennis, he sees Jesus. And then they're approved, safe to be saved for eternity. We must put on Christ. We must become fully measured in Christ. And if Jesus should come today, how would I measure up, Arlene? How would I measure up today? Can I say I'm fully covered in Christ? Comprehensive coverage? He says, if anyone will follow me, will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And one more in Mark 10 and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, when we're speaking to people, do we behold them and love them before we speak to them? If we don't love people, we shouldn't try to correct anyone. Because if we correct out of love, even that is selfishness. Because we want a person to do just like I do. But if we really love the person according as Christ has loved us, that's the only time we should take it upon ourselves to try to correct anyone. Is if we love them. And Christ is filling our hearts. Otherwise we're just trying to make them like us. And I am not the standard in the judgment. Jesus is. Amen. And so he said, Jesus looked at him, which is who turns out to be the rich young ruler. Beholding him, he loved him and said to him, One thing thou lackest, one thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. There it is again. That consistent theme. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. You know, as the three of you are taking your stand publicly today by this baptism, that is exactly what you're saying to the world. I am denying myself, I'm taking up Christ's cross, and I'm following Christ fully. That's what each of us is here to renew our commitment here today as we witness this baptism. We are saying, Lord, we are denying ourselves, we are taking up the cross, and we are following you. And Jesus needs disciples in August 2020, doesn't he? And you and I are called to follow him fully. I'd like to see a show of hands today of all those who present here are 20 years and above. I see some good witness, 20 years and above, hands down. Those who are beneath 20, let me see your hands. All right, those of you who are less than 20, and I see some 60-year-old saying they're less than 20, you know? So let me see the hands again of those who are under 20. Luke, you're under 20? Let me see the hands. Those who are under 20, raise them up. Don't be shy, no? All right, those who are under 20, right? All right, those who are less than 20 years old, you got to listen to this one now. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 11. Turn in your Bibles there. And we're wrapping up. Numbers 32 and verse 11. So, approximately 2 million people had left Egypt. And I read in one part that when they were organized into an army, there are more than 600,000 men who fit this category of 20 years and above. But look at Numbers 32 and verse 11. Surely, none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Because they have not wholly followed me. You imagine 600,000 people, and after 40 years, only two of even 600,000 entered the promised land. They all died in the wilderness. Cut that in half, 300,000. Still cut that in another half, 150,000, 75,000, 37,500. You can put it to whatever number. In the end, only two that were 20 years and older entered the promised land. That left Egypt. Because they did not follow the Lord fully. This is a high call for us today. To really self-evaluate. Are we following God fully? Well, who know the two who were 20 years and above that entered the promised land? Who are the two? Who are they? Caleb and Joshua. And look at God's witness now. Numbers 14, 34. Numbers 14, verse 34. Look at what God says about Caleb. Numbers 14, 24. God says, but my servant Caleb. Amen. God calls Caleb his servant. My servant. Is God so proud of you today that God can say, my servant Katie. Can God say that about you today? My servant Jimmy. Can God say that about you? My servant Alvin. Can God say that about you today? And you can put each of your name there. Can God call you his servant today? God says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and that followed me fully, from where I drew my sermon title, had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, that's as a spy, and his seed shall possess it. There's a blessing for those who follow the Lord fully. To the contrary, there's a curse for those who don't follow the Lord fully. Question is, what is your decision today? You know, it is fascinating how you can live any way you please and nobody bothers you. But as soon as you mention that you are drawing closer to Christ or getting baptized and giving your heart to Jesus Christ, everyone quickly becomes experts advising against your decision. And if you make the mistake and tell them that you're getting baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, well, you become the laughing stock of town. They ridicule you. What? You mean that cult? You join in and all of a sudden they become expert on Adventism. They never cared a thing before, but they jump on Google and the first foolishness they read, they take that to be the truth. Well, I don't follow a cult. I'm a member of God's remnant church of Bible prophecy, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's what I follow, amen? And I don't worship any human being. I worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I worship the Holy Spirit, and I worship God the Father. Amen, that's who I worship. And I'm a Seventh-day Adventist today, I can say to you, because that is the church that follows God's Bible fully. I don't want a church that stops at 99% or 98 or 88 or 78 or 68. I want a church that goes all the way. Amen. And that's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian today. That's why I even accept God's call to be a pastor in this movement. Because this church follows the Bible. I want to follow God fully. How about you? Yes, my friend. So when you decide to walk with Christ, everyone begin to negate and they speak negatively against your move. But I want to say to you today, even in church, you will find some of those discouragers, even in church. As you draw closer to Christ, they are ready to criticize. But don't listen to them. And I'm glad that none of those are at Elmira. Amen. None of those discouragers are at Elmira. Don't listen to them. Make up your mind for Christ and follow through. As a matter of fact, he's the one who died for you. You know, there are some guys who like to tell girls sweet nonsense and what they'll do for them and all that stuff. That's what they will do. And when it comes to it, they're gone. But Jesus did die for you. That's not make-believe. What year is this year again? What year is this year? 2020? Oh, and it's 2020 from what? From the Christ event. So no atheist should frame the year 2020 on their lips. Or no agnostic, because they're saying we're 2020 from a certain event. Did you realize that? We're counting from the Christ event. We're 2020 from the Christ event. That's why it's the year 2020. They're trying to drop AD. They want to come up. They talk about ACE, after the Christian era. This is the Christian era. There's no after no Christian era. This is the Christian era. They want to shift it from Anno Domini after his death. They want to shift it from that AD. But this is 2020 from the Christ event. So next time you talk to an atheist and they say there's no God, ask them what year are we in? And when they say 2020, remind them that we are 2020 from the Christ event. So even time itself is telling that there is a God. And time on earth is running out, isn't it? It is. Christ died for you. And today, you are making the most important decision of your life. That's a decision to obey God. And as God says, follow me fully. You know, I'll share you a story on one Bible text and we're finished with this aspect of the service. Heard a story of a master. Took one of his servants and his boat and went out on the lakes to shoot ducks. And he went out and there was a flock of those birds and fired off and he fired off and he fired off. And he hit some. And he injured others. And others escaped scot-free. Well, the servant jumped overboard and he was going to retrieve the dead ones. And the master said, no, no, go in that direction. There were some making their escape to like the marsh area there. And he said, go after those. And the servant obeyed and went and collected those. And then he came back and picked up the dead ones. But out of curiosity, he said, no, master, why did you ask me to get those ones? Because even then it didn't dawn on him just yet. The master said, well, guess what? The ones that are dead, they're going nowhere. They can't escape. But the ones who are injured, they can make their escape. We have to get them. I want to tell you that that master represents Satan. He's out to shoot all humanity and destroy us. And he has some dead in trespasses and sin. He says, don't worry about those fellow demons. Go after those who are getting baptized, those who are baptized and trying to live for God. They're escaping from my dragnet. Go after them and bring them back in. So I want to tell you that you are making the right move today by making your escape to Christ. And the good news is it doesn't matter how many demons Satan has in his confederacy. Jesus has beaten them all. He has conquered them all with a flawless victory. And as you put your hands in the hands of Christ, he will see you through. He will see you through. I close the sermon with this text today in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. But I can say to all this church, only follow this pastor as far as he follows Jesus. Amen. If you see this pastor takes a U-turn or a diversion, don't follow him. Stick on with Jesus. You know, every time I carry out a baptismal service like this, I can't but think, should God not come and Christ continues your life, where will you be in 2 years? Will you be as fervent in 2 years from now as you are today? And by extension to the rest of the church, are you as fervent about Christ today as when you were first baptized? Are you as fired up for Jesus now as you were when you first met Christ? If not, Jesus says, return to your first love. Determine by God's grace that you're going to follow him fully. Let's pray together. Father and our God, we thank you for this just powerful and wonderful experience we have today when we can witness the greatest miracle on earth, and that is a sinner surrendering to Christ and now on the path of a saint. I just pray that as we witness this, Lord, we'll realize that heaven is at work. And God is not yet done. You are not yet done with this Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church. You have much more to bring in, Lord, and to fit up for the kingdom, and to fit up as disciples that follow you fully. So I pray your sealing upon these three candidates today who decided that they are going all the way with Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us in our baptismal service now. May your name be highly exalted. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.